better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Got a lot of text messages coming in this morning via the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Blaine and Fayetteville. Jeez.
Where?
I wanted to put them together. It's all the same up there in Northwest Arkansas. He says, what do you think of Otis Kirk's report of only Barry Lunny and Jeff Traylor not having their houses put up for sale? And I did see that yesterday, that there was a report of that. I mean,
well, maybe they're going to turn them into Airbnbs or something. I don't know.
Yeah. That'd be a good investment. I mean, I assume... I don't know if it's just because of those two or not, but I assume that they're probably waiting to see what happens.
Lunny has been on staff. Lunny hasn't, I don't know if he's moved home since he joined the Arkansas staff with Bielema, but he's been in Northwest Arkansas much longer than that because he worked with his dad at Bentonville High School prior to joining Bielema's staff. So,
and when did he go up to Bentonville? I mean, how long has that been ago?
His dad went up there in 05.
So he's been up there about 15 years?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't hold me to that in the beginning. I think he was with his dad 13, yeah, I don't know, long time.
Mm-hmm.
So somewhere in that neighborhood. So I don't know if he's moved or I don't know what his situation is.
Yeah.
Jeff Traylor, I think, is someone he is a monster recruiter in Texas. And even if it wasn't an on-the-field spot, you might want to take a hard look at him for a recruiting coordinator type position, direct, you know, they got all these positions. It's not they'll just make up a position.
Yeah.
You can do it.
And almost never do you see a new coach come in and not retain at least one assistant coach. Mm. Very seldom. Very seldom.
Like even, particularly if you've had an interim and he fits what you're doing. I think Barry, I don't say Barry's a lock because nobody's a lock at anything. But, I mean, Bobby Allen survived how many transitions?
Seemed like all of them.
All of them.
Yeah, because I think wasn't Tim Horton under Nutton and transitioned with mm-hmm. Petrino as well. Mm-hmm. So, but it's always good to have that because you need some sort of...
You generally have one to provide continuity.
Right, and that's what I was going to say, is that you need somebody to have there that all the players are familiar with, that have been there for a while,
correct.
And help you to transition.
So that way there's somebody on staff that knows the family situation, that that knows the complete file, you know, if you will. So Barry would certainly be that guy. And I think when you look at Texas, you better have someone that has those ties and those connections.
That's right.
You know, Barry's your Arkansas guy. Traylor's your Texas guy.
Yeah. Which, by the way, go ahead. Sorry.
And go ahead.
I was just going to say that in that, when you talk about Barry Lunny being your Arkansas guy, actually, I was talking with somebody who would know yesterday. He was telling me that did you know that Barry Lunny wasn't even in charge of recruiting in the state of Arkansas under Chad Morris?
I kind of did know that. Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? Like, stuff like that just kind of makes you wonder. Like, well, obviously it doesn't make you wonder because now you see things like that. But,
anyway.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that obviously you have Barry Lunny. If you can keep him on staff, he has certain aspects of his recruiting especially that are vital, I believe, to have on staff. And again, I don't know whoever they're going to hire. It's going to be up to them and their decision.
The state of Arkansas was split up amongst the staff.
Right.
So there wasn't one person. Caldwell had his section. Barry had his section. Everybody had a spot in Arkansas.
Yeah.
So there's some merit to that idea.
Mm-hmm.
So
And let's be honest, too, at least for some of the names that we've been hearing in the coaching search, and I know that we keep referring to Lane Kiffin, but he's just the hottest name that keeps getting mentioned. But if you hired Lane Kiffin, he doesn't necessarily have any ties to Arkansas. I'm sure a lot of the assistant coaches he wants to hire don't necessarily have ties to Arkansas. So he would be probably someone that looks to keep somebody like Barry Lunny on, saying, hey, I need an Arkansas guy here. So,
well, I'm going to tell you, and that people are going to, not understand, but keeping Steve Caldwell around, I know the defense hasn't been very good, but keeping Steve Caldwell around isn't a bad idea either.
He did a good job in recruiting some of those defensive linemen, mm-hmm. especially from that pass class. So, but here's the thing.
I understand the defensive results have not been good.
And I'm not saying that.
But he's another great recruiter as well.
And I'm not saying that the coach that comes in has to retain anybody. I want that coach to bring in who they want. I want them to have the program they want.
You can't, Hunter Yurecek can't handcuff.
No.
Who he's hiring. Well, you've got to do this. You can say, you know, there's some guys here you might want to consider, but you can't make ultimatums. No. Well, if you'll never get anyone hired if, well, you got to take these people.
Yeah, I want the coach from the assistant coach down to the equipment manager. Whoever they want, they get. Like, I want them to have it to where it's their setup.
The only thing they may not get is field turf.
Oh, my gosh.
If the next coach wants field turf, he may have to wait a little bit on that.
If Lane Kiffin said he wanted field turf, you think that there'd be no way they'd do it?
Oh, my Lord. Because we just pulled field turf out to put natural grass in for that last buffoon.
Yeah, and Arkansas made like 8 highlight videos of the grass getting removed.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
we have to do another thing of that.
We trucked this stuff in from Tennessee. Oh, my. Can you imagine if the next coach wanted field turf and we rip out the million we just spent to put the grass back in? Because that idiot we had for the last 2 years wanted, which there's nothing wrong with grass. I mean, I'm fine.
No, but
anyway.
It's just coaches have their preference.
Oh, my God.
Because that was the Petrino
thing. That might
thing.
Be the one thing that's a deal breaker. Yeah. No, we ain't putting field turf back in.
Yeah, it's like, all right, okay, Urban Meyer, we got you. We got you signed up. Right, you ready to go? Turf. Well, here, I got to throw this in at the last second if you don't mind. I got to have field turf.
We're out.
Okay, well, now we're canceling the whole deal. Yeah. God, that would be something. This text comes from 479. Says, you know that since USC is keeping Helton, which officially came out yesterday, Clay Helton staying at USC, that means Urban Meyer to Fayetteville, right? No, that does not mean that. So I guess by that job, though, we can say that Urban Meyer is going to be out of coaching for another year.
Urban Meyer to Florida State.
I still think he's going to go to the Dallas Cowboys.
Who is Florida State going to hire?
I think Mike Norvell is going to Florida State. I think he's going to be the guy eventually goes.
But listening to some stuff yesterday, that they are very fractured there. That their administration set up.
It's a mess.
It's a mess. The AD is not long term. Been a guy that's been around the department, kind of an interim situation. The president's in the midst of transition. I mean, it's a real mess there.
Yeah. I still think it's
fractured on who there's several camps of thought on who the next coach should be there or will be.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the ultimate question. I mean, obviously Florida State's the best available job right now. It's just as far as the program itself.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously you mentioned the issues that they have. But it's going to make me wonder, though, at the end of the day, is Arkansas going to end up with the best coach hire in the SEC? That's going to be the ultimate question.
Will they or are they?
Will they? With the three openings right now, with Ole Miss, Missouri, and Arkansas, does Arkansas end up with the best coaching hire?
Well, depends on what you think of Jim McElwain, if you believe he's a real candidate at Missouri.
Ew. Like, the fact that somebody texted me yesterday and said that should be somebody they consider. Jim McElwain.
Here?
At our guest.
No,
thank you. Well, he won the East twice, and they fired him. I'm sorry. How many places do you know that fire coaches for winning the East just because, you won too much, we don't want that?
Tough guy, man. Did you see him wrestle that shark?
I tried to delete that out of my memory. Thank you for bringing it up. No, I did not see that because it didn't exist. But, yeah, you want that guy?
Well, it did on social. Isn't everything on the internet real?
Well, it was that. And you remember he was like lying to the AD saying, I'm getting all these death threats, and they didn't get any of them? Like, I'm sorry. I think Arkansas can do a little better than Jim McElwain. Just throwing it out there.
But he's from the Saban tree.
Oh, well, in that case, because so many other Sabanites have had so much success in the SEC. Should put a caveat on that one.
Kirby Smart's not doing too bad.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's like the exception to the rule. And I know people are going to bring up like Jimbo Fisher and all that stuff, but you know, that doesn't go along with my argument, so I'm not going to use those. Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Online. Danny's in Russellville. What's going on, Danny?
Good morning, guys. You know, its analogy would be, it's like children going to bed on Christmas Eve and they can't sleep, the anticipation for Christmas morning. And the fans, they just want to open that present and have hope, not be the laughing stock of the SEC. Now, I do disagree with Ty the other day. He said that of the three job openings, Missouri and Ole Miss, he wasn't sure ours was the lowest one on the totem pole. I disagree with that. We might be the worst football team, but we're not the worst job. I want somebody that looks at Arkansas and says, you know, I've watched your tape. Really, guys, you're a lot better than what you showed. You just didn't get no coaching. and I'm here to fix that. And, you know, that would be the best scenario for me to have somebody that is a good coach, because Chad Morse was a good recruiter. We got some good players in here, but obviously we did not get the coaching. And, of course, Chavis has got to sell his house because he knows he's gone. I mean, it's pretty obvious. What do you guys think?
I think almost 90% of the coaching staff, I would assume, is probably gone. I think most of them are going to be gone. And other than the guys that they may retain, like a Barry Lunny or something like that. But as far as your first point, though, when it comes to the coaching jobs in the SEC, we had this discussion between Arkansas and Missouri and Ole Miss and where they rank. So many times we get caught up, and you can say this is bias, I don't care, but sometimes we get caught up with just, well, what did the wins and losses look like over the past couple seasons, and that's going to determine how good of a program you are. And there's a lot more to it than that, because let's be honest, folks. There was a time where Auburn went 2-10, 0-8 in conference. That one year, and then before that they went 5-7, I believe. But did those 2 years dictate the type of program that they were? No, they didn't dictate it. It was just they had bad years and then they got out of it.
This hasn't been 1 or 2 years.
Well, no, but it's been 3 straight seasons.
Well, it was like 7.
Well, I know, but even those seasons when you went 8-5 was not awful. Yeah, you went 5-3 in the SEC. But,
like, those are the highlights of the last 7.
Well, throughout what I remember in my lifetime is, we were always a better program than Ole Miss and Missouri, and I just can't fathom somebody not saying that. I just hope the next coach comes in here, he doesn't feel that way. He doesn't feel like, well, let's just poor old Arkansas, so I don't have to do nothing. I want somebody that's kind of like Eric Musselman. I mean, look what he's done recruiting-wise and coaching. Anyway, guys, thanks for taking my call, and have a good day.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call, Danny.
Yeah, you just got to get back to – you got to get back to winning 2 of those 3 every year, at a minimum. You know, you got to be. You know, that's why Houston Nutt lasted 10 years. He beat the Mississippi schools. I mean, that's how you survive at Arkansas. You beat Ole Miss and you beat Mississippi State, and that's how you do it in the SEC at Arkansas and win. You got to win 2 of those 3 every year, and then you win your non-Power 5. Non-conference games. You know, that's how you do it. That's those are the minimums to get it done in this league.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the games people expect you to win.
Yep. And I've even said that with Arkansas's SEC schedule every year, the floor should be 3 wins, because I believe, just as a program in general, that you should be better than the Mississippi schools. You should beat Missouri more often than not.
That's what I'm saying. Two of those three.
That's why it's made it so tough for people to really fathom how bad it's been over the past 3 seasons. We're 3 straight years you've had 1 SEC win.
Mm-hmm.
1. I mean, that's just, it's sickening to think about. But I think overall, in general, as a program, given where Arkansas is at, given how they don't have some of the NCAA issues or sanctions or anything like that that the other two programs in Missouri and Ole Miss are looking at, I still believe that Arkansas is a better job than those two places. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm biased. Maybe I got my rose-colored glasses on. That's fine. But I just don't see how you can truly make a great argument that those two jobs, or either one of those jobs, are far and away better than the Arkansas job. I just don't see it. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Russ is in Jonesboro. What's going on, Russ?
Good morning.
Morning.
Well, part of the puzzle on the Missouri deal is that, you know, I live in Jonesboro, and KIT announced yesterday that Blake Anderson had an interview with Missouri. Have y'all heard anything about that? They put it as highly interested in Blake Anderson.
Yeah, I hadn't heard anything concrete on that. I heard that there were some reports that they had talked, though.
Yeah, that was on our news here last night. That was like a news flash they put out that he interviewed. So there's something that could be eliminated there.
You talking about from Blake Anderson, or?
Yeah, him having the interview. Nobody's even thought about Blake Anderson.
Well, and Blake Anderson
wanted to move somewhere else.
And Blake Anderson's not a candidate for the Arkansas job.
No.
So
no, but he is evidently for a Missouri job.
Right, well, just saying you're not competing for the same candidate with Missouri is all I'm saying. That's how I'm looking at it. If Missouri hires Blake Anderson, great for Blake Anderson. That's wonderful. But Missouri doesn't hire Lane Kiffin, or they don't hire Mike Leach, or they don't hire someone that Arkansas is looking at. That's my point.
Right. And the other thing is, you know, I've not heard one word anybody talk about Gus since he won that game Saturday. He is completely staying where he's at. Is that going to be the case?
Oh, yeah. He is not leaving Auburn. There's no way. And even if he had won, even if he had lost on Saturday, I still don't believe he'd be a candidate for the job, honestly.
You don't think he would have been looking to go anywhere else besides Auburn?
I mean, he may have, but it was going to be first off determined by if Auburn fired him and was willing to pay that massive buyout that he had. And even if they fired him, I'm not going to say he wouldn't have been a candidate, but I don't think he would have been one of the top candidates they would have talked to, in my opinion.
It's just crazy that the brakes were put on listening to anything about Gus since he won. When he won, that was it. Nobody said anything about him. They knew he was a done deal.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
anyway, I just want to say about the Blake Anderson deal. I heard it on news yesterday.
Yeah. Well, appreciate the phone call, Russ.
He may have a chance of going to Missouri then. You're welcome. Have a good day.
Hey, you as well, man. Appreciate it. Because and that's another thing, too, when we were talking about these jobs that are opening. I don't see Missouri and Arkansas competing for the same jobs or same candidates. I don't see that at all.
That doesn't look like they're drawing from the same well.
Yeah. But who would you say is drawing from the better well? Who's got the better well they're drawing from?
Well, if you're hearing names like Blake Anderson and Jim McElwain,
which is what we've been hearing about Missouri,
if that's truly the caliber of candidates they're going after, I'd say Arkansas's sights are set a little bit higher.
But I thought Missouri would be a better job than Arkansas. Well, yeah. Just throwing it out there. Because I think that when you can see the type of candidates that they're trying to pull in, and again, here's another thing about the coaching search. Whoever Arkansas hires, you can be all in on them, and you can support them, and that's great. But it doesn't guarantee that they're going to be successful at Arkansas. But just depending on the name you get. You know, because Brett Bielema, I honestly thought, dude had a big name, came in. I was like, there's no way that this guy isn't at least solid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, winning 7-8 games a year. And we saw what happened. And then
the game changed on him.
Yeah, and the game changed on him. I mean,
well, right after he got here, this division went to tempo and spread tempo football.
Mm-hmm.
It was no longer really what he signed up for, and he was too stubborn to change.
Yeah.
He had talked his way into a corner, and he couldn't.
Yeah.
And then in the end, when he tried to save his job, he had Cole Kelly out there running tempo.
Right. And so
by then it was too late.
But the whole point is you had somebody who had high level success at a Power 5 school, came to Arkansas and didn't get it done.
Mm-hmm.
But then you also went with an up and comer, if you will, in Chad Morris, and he for sure didn't get it done. So my whole point is that even though you may be falling in love with the name, that doesn't guarantee or think that you're going to just have the instant level success. It's just not the fact. So you're going to have to wait on it no matter what. And again, I don't have any issue with people supporting the coach and saying, all right, let's hope that he gets it going. But, you know, there's no guarantees in this business, man. There's no guarantees that they're going to get it done. Because if you look at the history, just look in the past 10 years of some of the coaching hires that have been made in this conference, how many of them were just praised for the rock star hire that they had? There's no way this doesn't work out. And then it doesn't. And then there's been a lot of cases where people trashed on a hire, and it ended up working out just fine for them, too. So just take all those factors into consideration. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. JR's in Marshall. What's going on, JR?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Pretty good, man. How about you?
Hey, doing all right. Just bring up one point here real quick. You know, Nick Saban probably is the most underpaid college football coach in America.
Without question.
You guys agree with that?
Without question.
So, you know, I'm not going to underestimate Hunter Yurecek on trying to go out and find someone that is going to be best coach. Not necessarily on the money end of it, because you guys know this as well as I do. Arkansas is really the only ticket in the state. We don't have a pro team or anything like that. So if you go out and you get a big name hire, if you can get Matt Rhule from Baylor, someone like that that's going to come in, the money will come soon after. Whenever somebody comes in and get that program back where it needs to be, the money will start rolling in.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole key to all this, you know, and that's what's hurting the program right now. The stadium's empty last two seasons.
Yep.
And they've got to get somebody in there, you know, that's going to be a big name. Mm-hmm. And if they want to spend $6 or $7 million, the money will come.
Yep.
So All right, you guys have a good day.
Well, appreciate it, JR, and I agree with you. You know, what's the old adage? You got to spend money to make money. This might be one of the cases when it comes to Arkansas coaching searches, and especially in particular this one. If you can have a coach that can bring in excitement to a level it has not seen in quite some time, but that coach is saying, you're going to have to pay me $6 million a year, then it will be worth it. You know, there's certain coaches that can do that. There's certain coaches that are just box office coaches right now, to where if you hire them, they come in and immediately people want those tickets. Even though you haven't coached a game, they want to see what you're bringing because you are box office. There's very few coaches that have that. And right now, as far as the realistic candidates for Arkansas, I would say maybe one or two could be considered at least smaller box office. Obviously, Urban Meyer is the ultimate box office hire there ever could be. Again, not realistic. But Mike Leach, I think, would be to a smaller scale box office.
Leach with the right couple of recruits, if he could land the right couple of wide receivers to go along with what they have, a couple of pieces here to really get you excited about something.
Yeah.
Maybe go get Jacoby Criswell away or so. I don't know. Just what would excite fans? You know, I think the offensive pieces are kind of up there.
Yeah.
You know, so
I think that
a guy like Leach to come in and just transform the, you know, go get you five road graders up front, you know.
Well, and I think that coupled with the assistant coaches that they bring in, I know we talked about it, but, you know, if he went out and started getting some big time names that people have heard of, they'd start to buy in a little more too.
Yeah.
So I just don't know. You don't need to make it to where box office is the most important thing, but if they can pull off both where you get a great coach who is box office, I think everybody wins in that regard because you need the money and you need those season ticket sales for sure.
You do if you're going to pay a coach $5 or $6 million for sure.
Mm-hmm. Is Mike Leach worth that?
It's a good question. Six seems too much. Five seems maybe.
I think five is fair for him. Know. He's been around a long time. I don't know if, would you pay Lane Kiffin five?
No.
Mike Norvell?
No.
So any other realistic candidate, would you pay five besides Leach?
Realistic candidate.
Realistic candidate.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
You want to hear some Big J journalism? Some Big J journalism here.
Is this going to be good?
Yeah. So it was going viral yesterday with some screenshots that Hunter Yurecek liked to tweet.
That he liked to tweet.
He liked to tweet.
That is now news?
This is news because this is the substance of the tweet. He was not tagged in it, mind you. So this is important to know. He was not tagged in the tweet. But it came from Woo Pig Dustino on Twitter. Dustino the Great was his handle, in case you want to follow him, Tommy. But he tweeted out, there's absolutely no chance Kiffin has anywhere near that much time to answer. It may not be announced till then, but if Kiffin's going to have to sign those papers, he's going to have to do it soon. Or Yurecek will move on because he's not stupid. And Hunter Yurecek liked that tweet.
Well,
that was big news yesterday. So I don't know if it's by accident or whatnot, but people were saying, oh, nope, that's the...
You ever accidentally liked a tweet?
Yes.
Yeah, when you're scrolling through your...
I've done that before.
Yeah, I've done that.
Nothing is worse, though,
particularly on Facebook, that's easy to do.
Right, but there's nothing worse than accidentally liking a photo on Instagram. That is the worst feeling.
I don't have the IG, so that's no problem for me.
Well, the fact that you called it the IG...
Yeah. I thought that would make me sound cooler.
Oh. So when have you ever been more concerned about that?
What you have to be careful about on Facebook
is... I was trying to impress you.
You can accidentally like smile or cry at something and you don't want to like scroll next to like a story of somebody like dying in a car wreck and like accidentally put a smiley face.
Or a laughing face or something like that.
Or a love, I love this.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
No, I meant to cry about it.
Yeah, I'm telling you, my fat thumbs have been
done that too.
Some weapons of mass destruction over here when it comes to social media. But maybe Hunter Yurecek just has fat fingers and he happened to like the tweet on accident yesterday. I don't know, but... It was at least interesting to see, and I'm glad he liked a tweet where it says he's not stupid, because it could have been one of those things, too. So, oh, man, we got to go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Eddie is in Clarksville. Good morning, Eddie.
Hey, good morning for the fan base. As I could speak, the fan base this morning. All this fan base, the whole nation wants is for Mr. Yearcheck to bring back a coach and bring winning back to the U of A. You know, kiss the season. And for Eddie from Clarksville, I'm borrowing Santa's sleigh. And I'm making two stops. And what's it going to take, Mr. Norvell or Mr. Lane Kiffin? What's it going to take? And then I would assure either Coach Norvell or Coach Kiffin, the U of A Sears, about winning. Then I'm taking the sleigh to South Florida. And I'm saying, Mr. Charlie Strong, what's it going to take for you to be our defensive coordinator? We'll write the check. We'll make you one of the highest paid defensive coordinators in the country. And then I'm making a stop to Georgia on Santa's sleigh. And I'm saying, Mr. Sam Pittman, come back to the U of A. I get an offensive line lined out. What's it going to take? It show the SEC. It show America, the U of A, serious about winning. I've heard many coaches say, you're as good as your assistants. And your let's assemble a coaching staff, to, as they say, to get the job done. And that's what needs to take place. The U of A is rich in tradition. Look at the last 8-10 years in our football program. What is the cost of winning? You look at Texas, fired the whole staff. Can't get the job done. And traditionally, look at their 4 and 5 stars, mostly 5 stars in Texas, and they cannot win without your coaches. Let's look at the Dallas Cowboys. By the way, I'm making this to Jerry Jones. In the time to bring winning, I've been a Cowboy fan as long as a fan all my life. In the time to bring winning back to the Cowboys, go get you a coaching staff to get the job done. Quit losing. I mean, what's it going to take? So, Santa Slay, let me get on it. I'm ringing a bell, and I'm bringing Mr. Yearcheck beside me with his checkbook. Thank you for taking my call.
Okay, thanks, right, Eddie. He's hopping on Santa's sleigh.
That's going to be a big old sleigh.
And with Hunter Yearcheck in the sleigh with him,
mm-hmm.
and they are going to have the checkbook with them.
Yeah.
As well. So I'm assuming the gift that they are going to be giving is the check from Yearcheck.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Okay.
The gift to us is, I guess, Charlie Strong and Sam Pittman and all those coaches.
I could be down for that.
Hey, I didn't disagree with anything Eddie had to say there.
No, no. In fact, as always, it was a great phone call, Eddie. But I opened up the show and we were discussing it a little bit. And I think it's always fascinating to get into that. It's as important as it is to get the head coach right, which we all know how important it is. You got to get this right. But one of the things that maybe doesn't get talked about enough is that whoever the head coach is, how they have to bring in a staff along with them that's going to be competitive in the SEC. And I would almost be of the belief that if you could hire a pretty good coach or maybe a riskier coach for less and be able to pay assistant coaches more, like, for instance, mm-hmm. we always talked about, you know, whether it was a Barry Lunny Jr. or Eli Drinkwitz or whoever these
Sam
names.
Sam Pittman,
that you pay them less, which I think they will all take, you know, a lesser amount than what you would have paid Mike Leach
take
or somebody
two,
like
$2 million.
$2 million.
Right.
And then go out and get you about 4 or 5 assistant coaches that are big time elite coaches and are proven and pay them 7 figures. Get a Sam Pittman over there as an offensive line coach, pay him 7 figures. If you needed to get Barry Odom as your defensive coordinator, pay him 7 figures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just go out there and get that, because you either need to have a rock star of a head coach or an all right head coach with rock star assistants.
And give them 3-year deals.
That's right. Boom. And I think most coaches, at least the ones that you'd be looking at, would be down for that. I think if it was a guy like Barry Odom, who's looking for a job right now, if you offered him $1.5 million a year as a defensive coordinator right now, I think he'd hard pressed not to take it, because he's not going to be a head coach again right now, at least.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead and make it happen. You know, I know Charlie Strong got brought up there. Same thing. Mm-hmm. If that's who you, if you felt like he could come in the SEC and do well, then pay him more money. So You know, that's my whole factor when it comes into with assistant coaches and why I feel like if you went the route where you took a riskier hire on somebody that may not be as proven as a head coach or may have been coming from a lesser conference, if you backed up the money truck instead of with them but with their assistants, I would be down for that. Mm-hmm. I could get energized from that. I could start believing in that because we know the importance of assistant coaches, especially in the game of football, and the difference it can make if you have a great staff around you.
I think that's the key to everything here. I mean, how did Frank Broyles build the national program he built in the 60s and the end of the set? Why is there an award that's given away in a few days named after him? Because he hired wonderful assistants that ran the program, really. I mean, and he was the original model for this. No, that's how Arkansas has done it in its best times, was with the best assistants in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know that Arkansas can get the best assistants in the country, but that's always been the model for Arkansas's most successful years is when you hired great assistant coaches. So mm-hmm. why wouldn't it work? You know, Petrino, when he was at Arkansas, was the anomaly to that, where he was the mechanic and the technician that took care of everything. He was just all over the place.
He was the dictator. He made every decision for everything.
And didn't have a staff filled with top shelf assistants.
And it worked.
But he was so great, so elite at what he did, he could keep a finger in all the pies and make it work.
Because
he was good at he didn't delegate a lot, but he was good at getting the most out of everybody by using, honestly, fear as his motivating tactic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Broyles had a whole other way of going about it, and I think others have done it that way. I think that's the way this next coach could certainly set up the staff. Bielema originally set up his staff that way. It's one thing to hire a great staff. You got to retain that staff. Mm-hmm. That's where Bielema failed.
Yeah, and because that was the thing, and it is amazing to me that if you look back on that staff that Brett Bielema put together, it was pretty impressive. Yeah. And he was able to do it because that was one of the driving factors of him leaving Wisconsin. You remember this, Tommy, that he felt like he was unable to retain assistant coaches because he couldn't get Barry Alvarez to pay them what they deserved.
Yeah.
And then he came to Arkansas and couldn't retain any of those coaches that ended up leaving anyways.
Speaking of Broyles, this weekend marks the 50th anniversary of the game of the century, the 69 shootout. So,
why'd you have to bring that up?
I'm just saying it's a noteworthy game. I mean, it's one of the most historical moments in college football.
Arkansas lost, though.
I understand that, but I mean, you can't erase history. You know,
Horns, Hogs, and Nixon's coming.
Right. It's still, I mean, it's still one thing that defines the very fabric of our state is that day 50 years ago this weekend.
I still think the refs were cheating in that game, in all honesty. So,
it's something to talk about with Clay tomorrow.
Yeah, because I can't really discuss much about the great shootout because I wasn't alive back then. But yeah, it's amazing though, 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
The president didn't do any sort of honoring or anything like that this football season. I'm surprised by that. Didn't have, because you remember in the 64 championship, they had a big to-do about
it. I think they had a, I thought they had a gathering for the 69.
They may have.
I think they did.
It just very wasn't publicized. It didn't have a game where it was based on that. So
I think the 69 team had a deal there.
Yeah, so. That would make more sense. By the way, speaking of this and things that makes me go, but am I the only one that finds it strange that we have not heard anything from Chad Morris? Am I the only one that finds that strange? Because yesterday, Barry Odom, who was fired by Missouri, put out this graphic and this paragraph and this statement, you know, thanking the fans, thanking for the opportunity. Obviously, it didn't work out the way they wanted to, but we appreciate it and always be thankful for the opportunity I have. Like, it was just a very classy move by Barry Odom.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of coaches do this. But is it just strange to me that we have not heard a single peep out of Chad Morris? I understand it was a disaster. Don't get me wrong. But to not even tweet out or Facebook post saying, hey, you know, it didn't work out the way we wanted, but I'm thankful for all of you and thankful for the opportunity and all of that.
Thanks for the $10
million. Yeah.
On my way out the door.
I almost appreciate that a little more. But am I weird in that? Am I wrong in that?
No.
Thinking that's just kind of strange that we haven't heard from him?
Does this just go to show that his lack of experience as a head coach. It just shows you one more reality of, man, the guy doesn't know how to do the job.
Yeah.
Because if he knew how to do the job, this would be one more step he would complete.
Yeah.
One more check mark he would get off the list.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I think about it. That's how I think it would go, especially in this day and age. But with social media, it's not like he has to have somebody, go on. You don't have to go on television and talk to the nation or anything like that. But just to not even put out a tweet, and it's been almost a month since he's been fired, it's just kind of surprising to me. I'm not saying we deserve it. No one deserves that, but I don't know. But I think it's what you said, Tommy. I think it's got more to do with the fact that he's just another inexperience of him as a head coach.
Hey, Metal Mart offers high-quality prefabricated metal buildings, metal roofing, carports, and custom trim. Contractors, as well as do-it-yourselfers, are welcome at Metal Mart. They have locations in Fort Smith, Mayflower, Jonesboro, Pine Bluff, and Little Rock. You can also find them at Metal Direct on Inmar Drive in Little Rock as well. Metal Mart, the right material for the right price.
We got a few people texting into the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963. This comes from Arlington Hall. He says, repeating the theme over and over at the U of A for the past 10 to 15 years, they have terrible leadership. They let problems grow and get worse before it is addressed, and the effects are almost catastrophic to the program. We need leaders and doers at all levels in the athletic department. Maybe Hunter Yurecek is that guy. You know, that's what you're hopeful for if you're a Razorback fan. And that's where I think at least my hope and faith lies in Hunter Yurecek, because I think the way he's handled himself through the coaching search, we know with the basketball and Eric Musselman, how great that's been. But the way that the process was handled, the way that he seems to have a confidence about him where it doesn't come off as just like he's all about himself, but he's definitely confident in what he's capable of doing and what this program's capable of doing. I think that level of confidence can kind of help out and breathe throughout the rest of the program and even the fan base. That's where my faith lies, is that I think Hunter Yurecek is a fine athletic director. He's proven it in arguably the second biggest coaching hire you could ever make in the Razorback program with hiring Eric Musselman in that basketball search, and I think it was done the right way. And so I'm hoping that there can be some sort of replication of the Eric Musselman hire in this football hire. I know that the programs are different. I know that every situation was different. I know the candidate pools are different. I know all of that, but I think Hunter Yurecek, at least so far, has proven to me that he is perfectly capable of making a decision when it comes to coaching hires.
And I would like to know who his sounding boards are that are in the coaching industry, because he has some. I mean, not that Hunter Yurecek was an athlete. He played college basketball, but coaches know coaches. Mm-hmm. And there's technique, and there's an art to going about being a coach. And coaches know coaches. And they know a good one. They know a great one when they see one. And if I'm in Hunter Yurecek's position, and I'm certain he has people he turns to, and probably in different areas of the country, different networks and branches of different coaching trees, that he can ask about people. That's what good ADs do. They know who to call to ask about people, to find out. Because if you're an administrator, you want to know all the dirt. You want to know all the good and all the bad. And, other coaches are who you want to turn to. Retired coaches, current coaches, people that have worked with them, people work for them. Those are the kind of questions you want to ask away from the interview. Because that's how you're going to identify your candidate and are you really getting the person you want? And that's a lot of the vetting process you probably went through over the last few weeks before you even got into the interviews. Is this someone we even really want to talk to?
Mm-hmm.
Coaches, no coaches.
That's right. And then there's a lot of cases where that's where they make the best athletic directors. But there's other cases too where you don't want them to feel like they have to have all the power to where every decision that they say has a bunch of yes men agreeing with them either. You want some pushback. And I think that's what's Hunter Yurecek, and having John Fagg and some of the other advisors that he has, he does have some pushback on some things when it comes to decisions. And that's what the process needs to be. I don't want Hunter Yurecek by himself picking a guy and saying, it's this guy, and if you don't agree with me, we're going to have problems. I don't want an athletic director like that.
Yeah.
I want an athletic director to make a decision, and a tough decision, but I want an athletic director that is very calculated in how they go about these processes.
But we've evolved into a state in athletics where, it's not Frank Broyles anymore that used to coach.
Right.
And he could identify. He didn't need to go ask a bunch of other coaches because he was a coach and could identify
coaches.
Yeah. Right. Now you got people that have come up because they were the assistant director of marketing is where they started, and they worked their way up the tree in athletic administration. Now they're an AD. You need you got to ask around, because we've just evolved into a different state of athletics because it's become such a big multi-million dollar, $100 million plus business anymore that, you know, former coaches may not make the best ADs any longer because of how big a business it is. But I think when it comes to the art of identifying coaches, you need to talk to coaches about coaches.
Yeah,
you
know? And I think that that's why the University of Arkansas reached out to a lot of former players and former coaches of Arkansas to get their thoughts on everything. And I think that's a smart move by them. But we had a text come in from the 918 saying, if Yerichek doesn't get this right, though, does it change your opinion on how he's done as an AD, even with the Musselman hire? And, you know, it has to. Because he is, this is the biggest decision that he has to make. This is the biggest hire that he has to make. And if he doesn't get this right, it's going to continue to set this program back further and further. And here's the thing. I don't feel sorry for Hunter Yerichek because he understands that. He said so much in that press conference when Barry Lunney was announced as the interim coach. He said himself, his words, we have to get this right. We have to do it. We have to do it the right way.
The future of the program depends on him
it
right.
That's not exaggeration, folks. Those are his words. He understands that.
Another 3, 4, 5 years of putrid results. I don't know that you can bring it back.
No. And if you do, it's going to take a miracle of epic proportions to get it back, at least in a time frame manner that's acceptable. But he understands it. And again, when it comes to hopes and all of that, that's where my hope lies, is that since he gets it, hopefully he can execute it as well.
The True Blue Savings event going on right now at Williams Tractor. Take advantage of 0% financing, cashback savings, and other year-end specials on select New Holland tractors, hay and forage products, and material handling equipment. Get in on all the True Blue Savings right now at Williams Tractor in Fayetteville, Berryville, or Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas in Rogers.
If you want to call or text the Cherokee Casino Hotline, do so 877-377-6963. Justin texted in. He says, sounds like he got his info from Nutt and Switzer, and I'm sure Hatfield, since he's seems to be more involved with the U of A lately. I'm sure they called out. They called a lot of different coaches. I'm sure that they called. I know that they called Houston Nutt because that was what was reported. But Barry Switzer, he was saying that he wants Mike Leach as their next coach.
Maybe he called John Daly. I mean, John Daly's been out there talking about Lane Kiffin. Maybe John Daly's the
I hope so.
The reference that was on the resume for Lane Kiffin.
I hope so, because Jeff Long hated John Daly, and that was another reason why Jeff Long needed to go. You can't hate John Daly. He's like, he is the chief of culture at the University of Arkansas. And so the fact
that that's exactly who we need to be listening to on football coaching hires, John Daly.
Hey, him and Petrino got along. Just saying.
Him and Bielema got along.
For different reasons. I think Bobby Petrino and John Daly got along because they both enjoyed golf.
I think Bielema's lifestyle.
Yes.
I was about to say. And Daly's lifestyle paralleled a little more.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Daly's a likable guy.
Oh, he is. I hope that if they end up getting Lane Kiffin, then, you know, there's a lot of rubbing elbows there a little bit. But also, John Daly said that he wanted Rex Ryan.
That would be entertaining. Don't know if it'd be winning football, but it'd be entertaining.
He'd bring in his brother, Rob. I don't know if that state could be ready for something like that.
Defense first.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's not going to happen. So Robert and Fayetteville says this is the most important hire since Frank Broyles was hired. Well, I don't remember when Frank Broyles hired, but I get what you're saying, though, as far as the impact that it could have. Well,
program was struggling then. Frank Broyles turned it around. Can't disagree.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas.
Go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline here on this Recruiting Thursday and talk a little recruiting as we welcome in Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Good morning, Richard. How you doing, man?
Doing well, buddy. Doing well.
Well, it's good to hear from you, and I know that we haven't been able to talk to you for 2 weeks because last week, obviously, with the Thanksgiving holiday, it's been a while. A lot of things have happened and have transpired since the last time we were able to catch up with you, and I'm just curious. This is kind of in a purgatory almost of recruiting and of this Razorback football program, because there's no coach there. There's still a lot of uncertainty. But as far as the recruiting side of things go, Richard, What's happening right now? Is anybody calling on the kids that are currently committed, saying just kind of wait? What's this whole situation going on right now with Razorback football recruiting?
The coaches are still reaching out to kids and just telling them to just stay patient and, you know, just doing whatever they can to, you know, try to encourage the kids. Hey, the kids are, you know, especially the kids that are committed right now, and even some of the kids that were committed that obviously reopened their recruiting, they're anxious. I mean, they're reaching out to me. So, you know, if they're reaching out to me, they're reaching out to the coaches. So they're just trying to, you know, try to encourage them to, you know, wait it out and see who the coach is and go from there. And once that's announced, that's when it gets interesting.
Yeah, you start looking at, you know, what you kind of call lost classes. And we were talking about this with Chuck Barrett a week or so ago. And, you know, Arkansas appears that the 2020 class is going to be another one of these that when you're in transition, you have a lost class. A couple of years ago when Chad Morris came in, you had a lost class. When you have a few of these in a 5 or 6 year window, that's how you put your program in a position like this. And Richard, I don't think fans, you know, truly appreciate or understand. Maybe the transfer portal and you know, some of these rules that have changed can help you overcome some of this. But I don't think fans truly understand when you have two or three of these in a short period of time because you don't have stability within your program, how devastating that is. And that's how you end up 2-10 2 years in a row.
Oh, there's no doubt. You're exactly right, Tommy. I mean, it's they're gonna obviously take a hit in this recruiting class. You know, I say that. I mean, it only makes sense if they'll take a hit. But until February, the traditional signing day, we won't truly know. But Coach Morris's class, according to ESPN, when he came in the first time and obviously had to deal with he was the first head coach at Arkansas that had to deal with the early signing period, which is a huge disadvantage for new coaches. He had the number 51 class in the country. Brett Bielema and Bobby Petrino, when they came in, they both had top 25 classes. So, you know, that February signing day moved up to mid-December for early signing period. Is, you know, you only have about a week or week and a half, depending on when you're hired, to put together, you know, a part of your class for the early signing period. Coach Morris only signed 7 kids in the early signing period. You know, if you're able to get more than that, or maybe 10 or more, whoever the next coach is, I mean, that would be huge. Because once that early signing period's done, 70% or more of the kids around the country are already signed. So your talent pool for the traditional signing period in February is greatly diminished.
Well, Richard, I just want to ask you, because I know you've been asked a billion times. I've been asked a billion times. Tommy's been asked a billion times. But I am just curious, at this juncture, now we kind of know a little bit more about some of the candidates and some of the guys that may not be options anymore for the Arkansas job. Is there anybody that you look at and you say, you know what, if Arkansas got that guy right there and they were able to assemble a great staff from the recruiting perspective, especially, they would be a rock star hire? Is there anybody that you just look at and say that's a surefire thing, at least realistic candidates for Arkansas right now?
Well, the two guys that get the most comments, seem to get the most enthusiasm from kids and parents is the two that I think most people talk about, obviously Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach. There was a former commitment. I was talking to a source, a former commitment recently was seen with still wearing Arkansas, you know, gear. And he was really high on Mike Leach. I've talked to others that said, you know, that Lane Kiffin is a guy that can relate to the kids and get some excitement going, and because of his offense and just his background. So I think those are the two guys. If you're looking for a splash, those are the two guys that seem to excite the kids and parents.
All right, so, you know, all the smoke, I don't know if any fire, but all the smoke's around Kiffin right now. I think we agree on that?
I'd agree.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Okay. That's pretty much what I'm hearing, too.
All right, so how would he do in Texas? I think Leach would be the guy, if you wanted to base your hire on recruiting connections in Texas, but I guess Leach would be the way to go since he was at Texas Tech. But how would Kiffin, if Kiffin is the guy, is he got to hire people? Or how would Lane Kiffin do with recruiting in Texas? Would it be all about who he hired?
Well, there's no doubt. Your assistants do the vast majority of recruiting. During the spring evaluation period, the coaches are out. It's just assistant coaches. That's the face of your program that the kids see when they're working out in the spring practice. They see the coaches. They don't see the head coach because he's not allowed to get out on for spring evaluation period. Now, the only time the head coach is able to get out is during the contact period that's currently going on right now in December and January. So, and the vast, and obviously you have one head coach and you have 10 assistants. 10 assistants are the ones reaching out to the kids. Now, the head coach is too, but obviously the relationship is usually built with the assistant coaches the most. So you obviously would have to hire some guys with strong connections with the state of Texas, and obviously you got some right now on staff. Obviously, we talked about Jeff Traylor. I mean, I think it's a no-brainer that you keep them on staff because Arkansas hasn't recruited East Texas like they have right the past two seasons since Houston Nutt, and that's an area that's really been very beneficial to Arkansas through the history of the program. So I think he's a no-brainer. Justin Stepp, obviously, he's recruited the receivers very, very well. And I think you got to take a look at Mark Smith, too. He's got excellent ties in the state of Texas. So the assistance that hires will be obviously very important. We've kind of talked about this. And, obviously, Coach Morris didn't do what was needed to get the W's, but he definitely – had a very good plan for recruiting, and that was basically a regional approach. Now, what would the other two or the next coach bring? Obviously, we'll find out. But I think the regional reach out to kids is a very good idea.
Well, Richard, whoever the coach is hired, obviously, I feel like one of the most important things, if not something that doesn't get talked about enough, is the assistant coaches that they're going to need to bring in, whether they retain Traylor and Lunny, but also going to have to bring in some big time guys that can recruit. But as far as just from what you think what this team needs and whoever the program decides to go with as far as the head coach goes, what is the position coach that they will need to make sure that they spend the most amount of money to get that right? Because we all know that this is important to get all the coaches right, and you wish you could do it, but is there a particular coaching position as far as assistants go to where they will need to make sure that they pay enough money to get a quality guy into that position?
Ooh, boy, it's such a team sport, right, to just pick one. But I guess if we look back at recent history, the offensive line coach made a big difference. When Sam Pittman left, that obviously hurt. So that's a position coach that does most of the recruiting, obviously, of the offensive lineman, and that's an area where Arkansas has to continue to add. I think Arkansas at the offensive line position has some pretty good young talent, but you got to continue to recruit that pretty heavily, too. But I'd probably lean just towards maybe offensive line coaches because, like I said, recent history.
All right, Richard, let's switch it up a little bit and get to some more positive news for Razorback fans, and that's the basketball team. Eric Musselman, as far as commits go, he is 4 of 5. He was able to, of course, get K.K. Robinson over the weekend. It wasn't necessarily a surprise, but still, it's nice for Razorback fans to be able to see that. He's just doing a phenomenal job. What can you tell us as far as the K.K. Robinson commitment? What was the things that he liked? Just tell us about that situation.
Well, I think it was a case where it's all about the league. It's all about the league. Coach Musselman and his staff have a lot of NBA time. The background is in the NBA, and I think the one thing that Coach Musselman and his staff does so well is really detailed breakdown how they can help a kid get better, how they can help a kid get to the NBA, improve their game. They're so detailed, and that's something that, again, I keep saying this every time, you have me on, but that's what the kids and parents say, that they've never, you know, of all the visits they had, they never had a coach or coaching staff break down in detail how they can, you know, benefit from being a Razorback. And I think that's huge. You want to know as much as possible whenever you're getting into any working relationship. And when somebody has a game plan that's above all others, I think it impresses, like I said, the kid and the parents.
I'm going to be interested now that they're going into a mode, you know, kind of starting this Saturday where they get into finals week and you got a little break from midweek games and you're playing just some Saturdays. How this team perhaps changes a little bit, Richard, and what I mean by that, coaches can take a little bit of a different approach when you don't have games during the week and you can set your practice plans up a little bit different. Do you think we'll see, you know, maybe the team go to a different level or some players develop a little bit differently over the next few weeks when there's just one game a week?
You know, I think it's definitely possible. Coach Musk has been hit on that, that they're going to kind of be a little bit more in camp mode and add some more offensive and defensive sets. It gives maybe some of the guys that are not seeing the floor as much more opportunities to you know, impress the coaches. So you know, and it just gives them more time to develop. And even though they've been practicing for quite some time, and to be able to do that and focus more on maybe some things that during the season you're not able to, could help. Help the team, there's no doubt in my mind, yeah.
All right, Richard, I want to ask you about this, too, because I just find it funny. It came out here recently that former Baptist prep guard Isaac McBride, who left Kansas, committed to Vanderbilt. And there was, of course, Razorback fans that saw this was like, oh, you whiffed on him twice. Why don't you want this guy? How could you not recruit this guy? What's the story behind this? Why did he go to Vanderbilt? What was Arkansas's role in this whole thing? Just give us an update on that.
Well, you know, obviously he visited Arkansas, but there an offer wasn't extended. So, you know, that pretty much, you know, it kind of made the decision for Isaac. I think with the amount of guards that Arkansas has and, you know, having commitments that they have from Moses Moody, KK, and Devontae Davis, it probably made it, you know, a little crowded in that area. So I just tend to think that the roster is already what they probably see is the best for them right now. And it just any other time, maybe they might have had a spot for Isaac, but at this time they didn't.
All right, back to football for just a minute. High school state championship games begin this weekend. Any players you got a particular eye on? Some matchups you think are worth noting? And then, of course, the small schools, the 2, 3, and 4A have semifinals. Some football games of note this weekend around the state that we need to highlight.
Well, one guy I really like, I think, fans, if they're going to the state championships, games. I mean, there's several guys, but one guy in particular, Marlon Crockett from Searcy, receiver. He's a 2021 kid who moved in from out of state, who was MVP, newcomer of the year in a district in Texas. He's about 6'4", 6'5", probably about 190. A guy that I think the next head coach at Arkansas and the staff, and Arkansas and Coach Morris and them were definitely keeping an eye on him too, but I think he's a guy that could maybe get an offer from Arkansas in the future. He's got good speed and he's got the height and athleticism, and he just is a mismatch with his size and everything. He caught a Hail Mary to close out the Greenwood first half last week in the end zone. Just again, a bigger receiver, good speed, and a guy that I think is going to have definitely a lot of options going forward, especially after February when coaches really start focusing on the next class.
All right, Richard, I also have some people texting in. They want to know as far as the update on a Kyrie Walker situation, because there's about the him maybe enrolling mid-semester to try to get on the team this year. He's still completely undecided, but Arkansas feels pretty good about his chances. Do you have any updates on that situation?
No, and I may be surprised and he may end up being a Razorback, but at this time I tend to think he's going to be going overseas. Again, could be wrong, but I feel pretty confident in saying that.
Okay. So that's exactly what some people were hearing, but I guess they just wanted confirmation on it as well. But it should be fascinating to see how this all plays out. Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Always appreciate you hopping on with us, Richard. Have a great weekend, man. And hopefully next week when we catch up with you, we'll be talking about a new coach.
Sounds good, guys. Take care. Have a good day.
Hey, you as well, man. All guests join us via the Cherokee Casino Hotline here on The Morning Rush.
NWA Gold and Silver in Bentonville and Fayetteville is going out of business, and you can save up to 70% off on Arkansas's largest selection of fine jewelry just in time for Christmas. Over $3 million worth of inventory must be liquidated. Save on diamond earrings, diamond engagement rings, necklaces, pendants. Save up to 70% off during their going out of business sale at NWA Gold and Silver, 1130 North Walton Boulevard in Bentonville and in Nelson's Crossing by Jason's Deli in Fayetteville. Save up to 70% off during the going out of business sale at NWA Gold and Silver in Bentonville and in Fayetteville.
It's just, I don't know, it's so fascinating to me though when we were talking with Richard about recruiting and everything, how you're in a purgatory right now where nothing's really happening.
Scary, isn't it?
It is. It is because, you know, what if something goes horribly wrong this weekend? What if the guy that, because what I think, and this isn't exactly, you know, groundbreaking news, but what I think is that Hunter Yurecek, they have their guy. Maybe they haven't signed on the dotted line, but they pretty much got him wrapped up, at least in their opinion. And but what if something happens? What if a job opens up that person wasn't thinking and it backs out? Like, that's the scary thing. I would feel like it stressed me out as an athletic director, because you got to get it right.
What if something
changes?
Yeah. From everything you're hearing, everything I think everyone's hearing, is it's a done deal with Kiffin if nothing changes.
That's right.
If nothing happens, if there's no 11th hour movement, Kiffin's going to become the coach on Sunday.
Yep.
And that's going to set a set of dominoes in course around. Arkansas is not going to be the first domino, but there's going to be some other movement following that. So once Kiffin moves, there's going to be some other guys start moving around. And we'll see what happens. But there's some guys this weekend, like a Mike Norvell, that's going to be coaching in a championship game, and Eli Drinkowitz that's in a championship game, a Lane Kiffin that's in a championship game. And I think Monday is going to be a wild day for the coaching carousel.
I do too.
You know, I think more and more as you just start listening, you know, I'm becoming more of a believer that that's the direction Arkansas is likely to go.
I just feel like there's...
But I don't feel strong enough to say, oh, this is what's going to happen. Because things can always change.
Yeah, because we know how these coaching searches go. There can be something that just changes on the drop of a dime and happens.
I think this, just gut feeling. If Kiffin fell apart at the last minute, some big booster at Florida Atlantic or something happened and he decided to stay there, or I don't think he's going to Florida State. I don't think there's...
And I don't think he's going to Ole Miss or Missouri.
No.
So
I think he's coming to Arkansas or staying at Florida Atlantic. I think if Kiffin doesn't happen here, I think it's Eli Drinkowitz.
Man,
I think that's part of their backup plan.
It's not a terrible backup plan, but like, and nothing against Eli Drinkowitz. But again, like we talked about though, to me, if you're going to do that, you might as well hire Barry Lunny Jr. In my opinion. But, if it ends up being Kiffin, let's just all hope that that goes the way that one needs to go. So let's just hope out for that. So, but I don't know. Obviously, everyone has their feelings, and there's just too much smoke for Lane Kiffin to not be Lane Kiffin. You know, like we played his clip earlier in the show of him talking about the job and saying, oh, I don't ever comment on coaching rumors. Well, that's probably smart, because I'm sure you get them a lot and people offering you jobs. And if you're going to leave for Arkansas, there's no reason for you to come out and say, no, I'm staying here. And also, Florida Atlantic offering a new deal to Lane Kiffin, or at least in the works, shows that they know that there's a threat.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.